We will continue with God's help to look at the book of Amos. We'll be looking at chapter 3 at the beginning, from verse 3 onward. But please join me as we seek God's grace in prayer. Our God, we are blind unless you open our eyes. Our hearts are dull and sealed. Unless you soften and open them. And your word to us, we need your Holy Spirit to guide us so that we will understand and so that we will imbibe the truth and so that it might impact our thinking, our feeling, our wishing, and our doing. To that end, O gracious God, we turn to you and ask that you might be pleased to speak to us through your precious word. And in faith, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amos asks, can two walk together unless they have agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from his den unless he has captured something? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground when there is no trap? Does a trap spring up from the earth and capture nothing? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will the people not tremble? Can there be a disaster in a city that the Lord has not caused? Certainly the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not hear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? We live in an amazingly beautiful world. A world full of harmony and logic. True, to no small extent, the beauty of the world has been distorted, corrupted, ruined, hidden by the consequences of our first father's sin. But it is still beautiful. And its beauty sparkles out through the darkness of what we see around us. This is a world where up isn't down and hot isn't cold and light isn't darkness and concrete isn't fluid and a man is not a female and what is nutritious today doesn't become poisonous tomorrow unless you eat too much of it. This is a world that was created by a God who is not only holy, but who is wise, who is rational. In other words, who works according to a plan, who makes things fit together to make sense. And this world reflects this rationality of God, this wisdom, this beauty, and this logic of God, both in what is and in what happens, in what takes place, in spite of the chaos that we see around us. Everything has a cause. Every cause has a consequence. Everything that occurs has a purpose. And that is what Amos is teaching us in these verses which we have just read. He does so by way of a series of seven questions to which he gives no answers because the answers are obvious to us. They point at the wisdom of the world, at its logic. They remind us that there is in fact a reason. There is in fact a goal. There are in fact consequences. Amos begins with a series of questions that are rather innocuous, as one would think, because he's wanting to involve us who he hear or his reader's word in the answers so that we will begin to think. Thinking is so important an aspect of Christian life. At the beginning, he begins with questions that are, well, they are very simple to answer, of course. But ultimately, he brings us to the point that we become our own accusers. That we recognize where we stand before God and before his word. This is something like what Amos did at the beginning. He saw when he started, as it were, surrounding Israel by pointing at the sins and the consequent punishments of the various nations around, from the north east to the southwest, and then from the northwest to the southeast, and then to the very south into Judea, as it were, surrounding Israel. There's a kind of a growing crescendo to his questions. Now, Amos thought about these things. He planned them. Although the Holy Spirit guided him, this does not mean that he or any of the writers of the scriptures were not themselves engaged in thinking, in the choice of words. The guidance of the Holy Spirit was not necessarily conscious. It was complete. Any words suggested to the mind of the writer, any literary structure suggested to his mind, was suggested by the Holy Spirit in such a way that the author knew it to be his own thoughts. And in this way, he gave us the Word of God. And this is immensely important because it means that we have access to the Word of God. That on the one hand, it is truly God's word. But on the other hand, it is a truly human word. And therefore, by the same principles in which we understand human words, we can understand Amos, for example, with one important difference, or should I say really two. The first is that we completely trust every single word that Amos said. Can't say that about most folk, although I hope and expect you would trust every single word that I have to tell you. And secondly, that having understood what Amos says, we know ourselves obliged to obey. These are truths which we must imbibe. And so, let's look at these questions and think about the answers. The first is this. Can two walk together unless they have agreed? Is it reasonable to think that the same people at the same time in the same place will be going from the same place to the same other place? I mean, would we not be saying, what are you doing here? How come you're going where I'm going exactly when I'm going there? Or we'd go home and say, Bracha, you wouldn't believe who I met today. Can two walk together unless they have agreed? So there's a logic to the world, and we look to find the logic when two are walking together. What is the reason? What is the cause? How did this come about? Now, this kind of concept of the world is totally contrary to that, for example, that would typify idol worshippers. It actually also stands in contradiction to what we might be inclined to think today. Because hopefully we would not be inclined to think, but those around us regretfully would. Denying the existence of God, we have to ask ourselves then, whence comes the logic, the rationality, the wisdom, the sense of the world? What compels the world to function in one way and not in another? And how how can we be sure that what is true today, it doesn't become the exact opposite tomorrow? Imagine for a moment a world in which there is no God, and therefore there is no logic. There is therefore no stability. Everything happens by chance, by coincidence, and therefore without logic, without reason, without cause, without a goal. And so a stable earth today becomes unstable tomorrow. And iron suddenly becomes air. Would it be possible to live in a world like that? And of course the answer is it would not. And there's tremendous comfort that we have in the knowledge of the fact that our loving, wise Heavenly Father governs all things that happen in the world and grants all things their stability. Idolatry, for example, is the reason why in the ancient world they did not attribute any reason, any logic, any goal, any purpose to history. It's also why there was and could not be any form of science. Yes, there were discoveries here and there. I mean, the Babylonians could, to some extent, expect the movements of the stars, but they couldn't tell you why. They didn't understand the logic of it. All they could see was observe it. And that's a big difference between a technology and science. Amos challenges this idolatrous, this atheistic view of the world, and lays before Israel a worldview which obliges Israel with duties. There is logic in the world. There is a sense to history. And this sense, this logic is above all spiritual, and that spirituality translates itself in other, amongst other ways, by morality. And therefore, Israel should not expect God to bless them unless they conduct themselves according to the will of God. And if Israel should sin, let it never think that it would ever be able to escape from God's holy hand. Nothing can claim to be conducting itself the way it ought to conduct itself so long as society is corrupt. This is an important principle in life. For one reason. Not because of some kind of social contract, because contracts can be broken and they can be altered. They're unstable. But for one reason only. There is a God in heaven who rules on earth and who determines how we should conduct ourselves. Israel and the Lord were not walking together. Why were they not? Because they were in fundamental disagreement as to how life should conduct itself. Amos asks, does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Lions roar in order to frighten the animal that they are about to have for supper or breakfast or dinner or whatever it may be. This in order that they would be able to pounce upon them and drag them to their den. In other words, they don't roar for the fun of it. They have a purpose. And Amos asks, does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? When there's no purpose which he intends to achieve? Of course, the lion who roared in this case is God, as we saw at the very end of the passage we read. And the question is this, will Israel hear God's roar? Woe betide the nation against whom God roars. Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Everything has a purpose. Everything has a goal. And this, too, is a truth that we desperately need for our own comfort. We often face situations which we cannot understand. And yet, because we know there is a God in heaven who rules upon earth, we know that these things that we cannot understand will one day make sense. They are not purposeless. They're all leading, nor should I say, rather, they're all being led by the sure hand of a purposeful, wise God who is determined to work out his will. And so our pains and our losses and our sorrows, these too serve a purpose. More often than not, a purpose that we cannot see, because the day for our seeing has not yet come. The veil is still over our eyes. But we will be wiser than wise if we put our trust in God in the face of our circumstances, in the teeth of our pain, because we know that everything in God's world has a purpose. Does a young lion growl from his den, not in the forest now, but in his den, unless he has captured something? So now the young lion has already laid hold of his prey, and he's dragged it into his den, and he growls with pleasure, which often happens to me after a meal that Bracha has prepared. There's a reason. Not only a purpose, but there's a reason. There's a good reason for everything. There's a reason that God would refuse to us what we ask for. There's a reason that God will bring upon us what we decidedly asked him not to bring upon us. This world has not gone mad, although it appears that humanity has. This world has not run out of control, although some might think it has. God is still Lord of this world, governing all things with a wisdom which is immeasurable. Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground when there is no trap? So everything also has a cause. The reason a bird falls on the ground on a trap is because there is one there. They don't just fall to the earth for no reason whatsoever. Nothing happens by coincidence. Does a trap spring up from the earth and capture nothing? Everything has its intended result, not our intended result, because we are not masters of our lives. We are not masters of this world, but God is. And when a trap springs up from the earth, it captures, certainly when God is the one who lays the trap. And this is what Israel needed to understand. Make it heard to the fortresses of Ashdod and the fortified palaces of Egypt. Let the mountains of Samaria see the confusion within her and the oppression within her. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord. They store up in their fortified palaces plunder and loot. Therefore, here's the trap. This is what the Lord Jehovah says. He will distress and surround your land and pull down your strongholds, and your fortified palaces will be trembled. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that let me quote Heschel, who puts it this way. Justice is not an ancient custom or a human convention. It's not a value. It is a transcendent demand, freighted with divine concern. It's not only a relationship between man and man. It is an act involving God. Justice is God's line. Righteousness is his plummet. It's not one of his ways, but in all of his ways, and its validity is not only universal, it is also eternal. This is a staggering thought, hardly compatible with any rational, or shall I say rather rationalistic approach to the understanding of God, that the Creator of heaven and earth should care about how an obscure individual behaves towards poor widows and orphans. But he does, and so should we, as well as for all of our fellow men. Precisely because the world is governed according to logic, that it has a purpose, that it has a cause, that it has a goal, it also inevitably has consequences. So on those grounds that Paul could say that what we sow, we reap. The people of Israel in those days, remember the days of Jeroboam the second, that mighty warrior, that's rich and successful king, they thought that they were immune from any kind of catastrophe that would come upon them. But that precisely was illogical. I mean, surely all they had to do was cast their minds back just a few years and remember how poor they were. Situations in this world are unstable. The only stability is to be found in God. A holy, righteous God who hates sin, who hates injustice, who hates laziness, particularly moral laziness. And that is why none can stand against his holy anger. Everything is under his control. Everything, absolutely. Even to the extent that John could write to us that Satan will be released from his prison, will come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog will gather them together for war, and the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. He is in control of all things. That, again, is the whole point of the book of Revelation. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will the people not tremble? Will the people of Israel not hear the trumpet that is being sounded in their city? Why are trumpets sounded? They are sounded because of danger, because of a war, because of some kind of catastrophe that is approaching near. And that is why the people should tremble. And when we hear God's word, should we not tremble at his word? Should we not be moved by the sound of the trumpet in our city? Spiritual and moral indifference are some of the most dangerous illnesses a society can contract, or a church, or an individual. When our conscience is seared, as it were, with a hot iron, or when it can barely whisper and we will not heed it, when the word of God cannot stir our hearts and touch our consciences and move us to be sorrowful, to be ashamed, to turn from our ways, when we are gripped in the hand of our sin, and we are unable even to turn away from our sin and repent, then our situation is the worst it could ever be until the day of judgment. And what is to be expected in this just, rational world over which God rules? Exactly what we would not wish for ourselves. Nowadays, it's hard to come across a book, a television program, a movie in which our minds are not defiled. Celebrities are known nowadays not for the moral standards they maintain, but actually for the immoral standards, which even they do not maintain, but continue to drag down lower and lower. And commercial companies are, and churches and individuals are often involved in virtue signaling rather than in the promotion of true virtue, because they're trying to promote this interest or another. And we must, sisters and brothers, be very, very cautious of moral or spiritual indifference. We must be careful of these kind of signals which are meant to dull our sensitivity and to still our conscience. And I speak from painful personal experience. We must always strive to cultivate in our hearts and in our lives a supreme sensitivity to what is right in the eyes of God, a supreme sensitivity to holiness in the fear of God. And so now Amos is asking us even more pointed question: can there be a disaster in the city that the Lord has not caused? Again, reminding us that it's all in the hand of God. I mean, think of it for a moment. These maddening shootings that are taking place every other day, and God forbid, every day soon. Are these just the come out of the air? Are they not the product of God handing us over to our own corruptions? Handing us over to the rational, logical consequences of the principles that we have as a society embraced? The Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His prophets. If only America would hear the word of God. If they would only hear what His prophets had to say, above all His supreme prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals it, His secret to His servants, the prophets. God is speaking to America through the consequences of its own sins. God is challenging our nation. A lion has roared. Who will hear? The consequence of living in a logical world, the theoretical, the intellectual consequence is that behind it all, there is a wise and logical one who rules all things. And the logic of that conclusion is that we better get in line with Him. And so we do live in a wonderful world, a world which God has made, a world in which we are able to conduct ourselves, we are able to project into the future, we're able to conduct science. We can get into a car and drive or into an airplane and fly because reality today is what reality is. Physical reality today is what physical reality always was since Adam's sin. Secondly, the logic of this world is primarily, above all, a spiritual logic which translates itself into moral terms. We are obliged. It is a commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is like it, identical to it. You shall love your fellow human as you love yourself. And if anyone, he says, that he loves God and does not love his fellow human, he is a liar. And we will reap what we sow. Is there a disaster in the city? And the Lord has not caused it. Does a trap spring up from the ground and capture nothing? Does a lion roar in the forest unless it has prey? Does a young lion growl in his den unless he has captured something? If a trumpet is sounded in the city, will the people not tremble? Let's pray. Most glorious God, your works are like unto yourself, glorious, amazingly beautiful, stupefying in their logic and their wisdom and their functionality. We are so grateful for the privilege in living in a world from which you have not withdrawn your hand, but rather that you govern all things according to your will. Oh Lord, govern our hearts. Direct them. Direct them towards you, towards your word, towards your will. Teach us to love, to obey you in the smallest matters of life, as well as in the great. So often it is easier to obey you when the implications are obvious and stupendous. But in these small, minor things of life, the test of the purity and sincerity and consistency of our love for you, help us to honor you, to respond to your roar, your gracious and merciful roar, and turn from ourselves to you. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, the one who with his own blood atoned for our sins, that he might bring us to you. Amen.